And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios. Grateful to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. And again, it being Thursday, we'll be playing a tape by Grace Hour host, broadcast for so many years, the founder of the broadcast, Pastor Carl Stevens. His message today is entitled, Surrender Your Emotions to God. And that fits perfectly into our theme this week, talking about all of those psalms and how those psalms are a great way to reflect the emotions that all of us experience in our lives, whether those are good emotions, bad emotions, and anything and everything in between. So we've got Pastor Stevens' message coming up in just a few moments, and with our new format during our Thursday broadcasts with Pastor Stevens' messages, we'll be playing a short portion of his message, and then we will open it up to our commentary here in the studio and discuss what we just listened to, and then again, refer back to the second portion of his message, and we will do that for three times during the full message that we'll be listening to today, and commenting, and making different remarks, and adding to, and highlighting certain aspects of his message today. So we invite you to stay tuned as we listen to Pastor Stephen's message today entitled, Surrender Your Emotions to God. I want to welcome everybody that's listening live on the internet at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Good to have all of you with us today, not only on those platforms, but on many other as well. And a quick reminder to all of you that may be listening to our broadcast today in the greater Baltimore area. And that is that, well, as you know, Easter is coming soon, less than a month away. And we'll have our annual Easter play here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. It's going to begin on Tuesday, April 12th, then again on April the 14th, a Thursday night, a Friday night, and a Saturday night. There'll be four performances that will take place in our chapel on our stage, and it's going to be another one of those great Easter presentations. This year's play is entitled, One Decision Will Change Your Life. So we hope that you'll plan to come and to invite anyone and everyone you know and love and have them come not only to witness the story of Easter, but then to have an opportunity to embrace the Christ of Easter and to trust him in a personal way. After each performance, there will be an invitation given to all of those that are present to trust Christ in a personal way. So that's the Easter play. It's coming up soon. Mark it down in your calendars, April 12th, the 14th, 15th, and 16th, right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. So without further ado, let's turn our attention to the first part of Pastor Stevens' message today, entitled, Surrender Your Emotions to God.
When self is totally given over to the mind and isn't integrated with Calvary, and there's no Calvary integration with self, then you end up totally serving God in self-energy. And what happens is you faint. He says, because we have a different motive than this, we faint not. The Word of God must go beyond our mind. It must go into our heart. It must go into our heart and our mind and control our body. When the rivers of living water flow from heaven, from the very throne of God, then the source of life is in the river. And the river controls my being with my total cooperation and my absolute living consent. So often we exercise willpower without surrender, and we substitute willpower for surrender. But we're striving and not exercising surrender. When surrender takes over, God wills to work in us. He can only work in us through his will, using, of course, our wills, to say the least, when surrender takes over. Now, I really appreciate Alcoholic Anonymous, Emotional Anonymous, for one reason. When they come on and say, my name is so-and-so, and I surrender to a higher power. Well, to be sure, thank God, our surrender is to Jesus Christ and the Word of God and That's why I thank God for the local assembly. But I do appreciate that initial approach, because when we come to God, you say, listen, my name is so-and-so, Father, as you know, and I surrender, and I'm this and I'm that, but I'm not living in condemnation or guilt. It's just as natural as breathing to have all kinds of guilt locked into the unconscious, and then to live in a parasubrational process which sorts out that guilt, and the person suffers and becomes weary and faints. And that's why we don't believe in living in the parasubrational. It means that you have the cooperation of the involuntary, unconscious, rationalistic processes of the unknown part of the mind, combining with the conscious mind, and producing an amazing process of rationale through the intellect. And the intellect then communicates that to the emotions, and emotions try to steal the show from the true heart of God and from the true mind of the Word, and the emotions bring in their paralyzing feelings, and they tell you that that's your mind working. The emotions immediately tell you that when they're functioning, they tell you that's your thinking process. But it isn't your thinking process at all. When you get negative projections from your emotions, your mind has been removed and not renewed. And this is a destructive, devastating process of chaos that goes into the human deteriorational process to destroy capacities for grace, for love, for mercy, for hope, for faith, for life. Now, there hasn't been a person here that hasn't had some kind of emotional problem this week. That I'm guaranteed. And probably you've had it several times a day, and you deal with it, and you struggle in it, and you know sometimes where it's coming from, but you can't do one single thing about it. So what do? You say to God, I surrender these emotions to the love of your spirit in my heart and to the word of God in my mind. Those two combinations. So I've got the love of the spirit motivating the heart, and the Word of God energizing the mind. And that's called a renewed mind. So that nothing old can stain my capacity of thinking. Nothing present can bring in guilt, fear, insecurity. My mind is constantly being renewed. Instead of letting the emotions remove it through the parasubrational, through the conscious rational process, the Holy Spirit of God with the Word of life is renewing it where? Completely and totally into the brand new heavenly creation. And I begin to live in a source in that river, which is outside of myself, and it's non-physical in its source. It's from a non-physical source, and let me even say this, other than the glorified humanity of our Savior, certainly not excluding Him, but it's a non-human source as far as my horizontal goes. We often, once in a while in classroom, we use the word a vertical dialectic. And what do we mean by a vertical dialectic? We simply mean that God establishes us in an eternal dimension so that our horizontal life is controlled outside of time and space, outside of three dimensions, into an amazing eternal dimension of the presence of God's eternal life principle working through us through Calvary.
Well, that's the end of the first clip from today's message entitled Surrender Your Emotions to God, and plenty to discuss already, friends. Just a couple of statements that we heard in the first part of that message that I've highlighted, and Pastor Schaller has joined me in the studio as well, so we're going to talk about that for a few moments, and then we'll move into the second portion of today's message. But the emotions, well, I love the statement, don't let the emotions steal the show. Why? Because they were not created by God to allow us to think. And how about this statement? Negative emotion will remove the mind, not renew the mind. It takes the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to renew our minds. And a renewed mind is essential. And it must be a mind in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that is constantly being renewed. So just a few thoughts to get us started. And, of course, we can surrender our emotions to God. And that really begins this process of the mind being renewed. The emotions, of course, created that capacity that God gave us to appreciate or to not appreciate certain things that take place in our lives. But, Pastor Shella, once we allow the emotional capacity to start doing the thinking, we could be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Even just defining these terms helps us understand something about ourselves. We have heart. That's one word used in the teaching today. We have the heart. We have the spirit. Those two parts, the deepest part, God said in Ezekiel 36:26, I'll give you a new covenant because I will be giving you, and the new covenant is that I will give you a new heart and new spirit. Then we have the word mind, and mind renewal, we know in Romans 12:2, is a very important part of the Christian life. I would say the way that we really live a victorious Christian life is by mind renewal. And then we have the word emotions, and he is saying that there are both people that are emotional, and actually God is their emotions. How they feel, they follow their emotions, and then he instructed us using, well, what came to my mind is Proverbs chapter 1, and these amazing verses. It's chapter 1, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Number one, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Number two is words. This is the same thing that Jesus said to the woman at the well. The Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and truth. The two parts that really change your life, that really affect you, are spirit and truth. So, you know, this is deeper than emotion. So maybe we can illustrate that, Pastor Love, that you have an emotional person, and then you have the deeper, the communion with God, not on an emotional basis, but in spirit and words.
Mm-hmm. The emotions can be very superficial. And you mentioned the contrast between the deeper part of who we are, the spirit, the truth, which becomes, that's the stabilizing factor in the believer's life when they're, again, trusting the spirit, being led by the spirit, and truth is filling their hearts and their minds. Because I think he mentioned in that first clip that we just listened to that a lot of believers can faint. They can become weary. They can become worn out. Oftentimes, that's related to the fact that they're doing a lot of their thinking with their emotions.
Yeah.
It's a superficial part of who we are. Never intended.
And I mean, it's for all of us. We, you know, you're emotional at a football game. You're emotional in a parade. You're emotional when you're going to get married. You're emotional in relationship. You're emotional at work. You're angry or sad with your boss or being mistreated. Emotions are a big part of life, but they can't govern my life. Life has to be something more than just how I feel. So Luke 8, the parable about the seed sown, and the seed is received with joy, and the person is excited about it, and then eventually the plant dies.
Because
there are no, it says in the scripture, the plant did not have roots. Yeah.
Yeah, that's everything. But that's a great statement that you made. You know, emotions, they are a big part of our life. And the fact that God gave us emotions means we shouldn't just place them aside and say they don't have a place. But if they govern our lives, which they were not intended to do when God gave us that emotional capacity, that's when we run into all kinds of problems. Well, let's go to the second portion of today's message and enjoy this, friends, and then we'll be back to continue our discussion in the studio.
God's love always communicated. True love always communicates. By the way, you never have to tell somebody functioning in God's love you ought to communicate. You'll never have to say that under heaven. True love always communicates. And the first sign of true love not being there in a marriage is when somebody withdraws into selfishness and withdraws into silence. They've lost their motivation. Well, you remember that. Their motivation of love, and then they'll often say, well, it's the other party. Well, that doesn't make one iota of difference whether it's the other party. What difference does that make? Because the kind of love that God has in its source is what? Subjective. God didn't have to have people to be loved. When people came on the scene, people discovered that God subjectively was love. That meant it was all in himself. It didn't take one thing on the outside to reveal it. Then when man came on the scene, then God expressed that subjective love, who he is, outward to us on Calvary, and that was an objective expression. Now, when we contact love, what do we first contact love? Well, here's the problem. We don't contact it subjectively. We contact it objectively. It's something outside of us. We taste it. We realize that perhaps it's toward us. And we thank God for it. We begin to intellectualize the meaning of the words. And we thank God it does exist through this thing called knowledge. But until that love is internalized by the Holy Spirit beyond our intellect in our heart and becomes subjectively us, then that love will never deliver you in the parasubrational, in the conscious rational of your essence, of your being. How many understand this? And by the way, if this makes you think beyond yourself, that's what a teacher does. He doesn't come in and give you a glorified Sunday school class. He uses words to make you think beyond what you know or what would be the sense of him being here. That's what a proper teacher does. Now, I want you to think with me. When the Holy Spirit takes over, you're subjective, then you don't need a husband or a wife. Don't misunderstand this, because we believe in caring for one another. But you don't even need a church friend to be the source of your happiness. The Holy Spirit constantly filling you with God's Spirit of love. And what do? You walk in it, and subjectively it's yours, inside of you. It's a river inside of you that has its source outside of time, outside of space, outside of human dimension, outside of this entire physical domain. It has its source in the throne of heaven. And your relationship and connections with that river of God in heaven finally gives you a subjective fulfillment of the new creation in the new covenant. And you become a part of a new humanity with a brand new, renewed mind. And at last you love God with all your mind. But first you love God with all your heart. Your heart is your point of reference. And your mind is your frame of reference. Your heart is the root of the frame of reference or the point of reference. The Holy Spirit's love controlling your heart then goes and emerges, saturating your mind and the frame of reference and the details of life. Then your body begins to feel the vibrations, the impulses, and the divine constraining motivation. And you, for the first time in your life, 1 hour at a time, one step at a time, you experience life above. And you set your mind on that life in Colossians 3:2. While you're seated with God. He never calls a man to give up his cigarettes. He calls a man to be seated, and when a man's seated with God, he doesn't need cigarettes. He never says to a man, give up your social drinking, it's terrible. He says to a man, if he's a Christian, he says to a man, come here and be seated with me and be my guest forever on the throne. And when that happens, the man doesn't need something for his nerves. See, the Church of Jesus Christ approaches the subject all wrong. How do they approach it? Objectively. That's the way often husbands approach problems in their marriage. They go at it objectively because they don't have the right source subjectively. And every time I try to clear up a problem objectively, I just complicate it. Because I'm not doing one thing to give spiritual leadership to the subject. You understand this? What every individual needs to change or have God change through the renewed mind is the subjective. That's where you get the fear. That's where you get the insecurity, the pain, the heartache. That's where all the problems and relationships come into. That's where you hate terribly to deal with this thing called commitment, and you don't have any quality commitment, is because the inner man has its source in the physical world, and has its source in the human mind, has its source in the knowledge of scriptures at its best, and that's why people get so frustrated when they have scriptures quoted to them, and they have nothing on the inside that has a subjective, eternal treasure type of value. And they get frustrated hearing it again. But when God's Spirit fills in the subjective, and I can face anything in my life and have that love in me without the objective life motivating me, the objective doesn't motivate me. It's sort of like taking the Word of God and having it internalized with the Spirit and the mind and in the heart and having that all become internalized. You see, the objective aspect never becomes internalized, never. So you talk about it, appreciate it, live clean, restrain from overt sins, do good with your neighbor, do good in church, and you go to heaven also because you were saved by grace. But you see, Christianity never goes beyond the objective.
Well, that's the second portion of today's message, friends. And again, the message titled is Surrender Your Emotions to God. And he spent a lot of time in that portion, Pastor Scheller, talking about God's love. And, of course, even love itself, so often we think, or people at least, give us the impression that love is an emotion. But love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. When it comes to, of course, the nature of God, it's a description of his character. And a demonstration of that love, of course, is Calvary's cross. But you can't help but listen to this message and keep thinking that God's only going to be able to change us through a renewed mind. I mean, everything that we're listening to in this message is not possible unless, as you said earlier in your comments, you have a new heart. You've entered into a new covenant with God, Ezekiel 36:26. And then the mind is habitually, consistently being renewed. It really speaks to the fact that we can't make enough good choices as far as hiding God's words in our hearts, thinking about those promises, meditating upon those promises. Because without a renewed mind, again, responding to God's love, sharing God's love, it almost seems impossible.
Mm-hmm. Pastor's main message here in this section was objective truth versus a subjective experience. And he said too many people start with the subjective, what they are feeling, what they are experiencing, and that's their starting point. And he's saying we should shift from ourselves to objective truth. And I can't help but think of that that illustration used in Amos about the plumb line. A plumb line not lying. A plumb line telling the truth about a vertical line when you're building a wall in a building. and the wall has to be absolutely vertical, you use a plumb line. Not your feeling about it, but the truth is the plumb line, you know. Objective truth. Mathematics, physics. There's a lot of ways we could illustrate the way we should live. And one of them is that I gotta line up with truth. And truth has to be outside of myself. Oh, wow. As you get older, you realize even more and more how wrong you can be in life. And we should all be looking for those objective references. Now, he mentioned in the beginning a man being silent, wasn't it? He loves his wife, but he's angry with her, and he withdraws into silence. And he lives in his subjective feeling and opinion and judgment about his wife. His wife deserves this pain. I am inflicting pain on her by being silent. I'm withdrawn. I don't want anything to do with her. And so he's penalizing her based on his subjective feeling, his own feeling of alienation, of being hurt and being troubled. And the Christian has to go outside of myself to objective truth. And God says, love your wife. Love your wife. That's just simply the way it is. I have to love my wife. And it's not my job to penalize her. It's my place to love her. So that's a practical application of what he's teaching. And I think this message could be practically applied over and over again to all of us, because we all have a tendency to live in our subjectivity.
Yeah.
And we all have a great need to become objective in our thinking.
Yeah, so true. Without a reliable source of reality outside of ourselves, we're left with nothing but ourselves. Mm. And that could lead to all kinds of problems. And I remember reading this, that someone approached their pastor once, and it was a gentleman in his marriage relationship, and he said, listen, I just have to tell you the truth. I have fallen out of love with my wife. And I loved the pastor's response. He said, well, fall back into it. In other words, it wasn't like, oh, no, what are we going to do once you love? But it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's an objective choice that we make. And if the feelings are there, great. If they're not, doesn't matter. Objectivity says, you know, this is the right decision to make. And if you make it, I think it can lead to healthy and good emotions.
Well, this horrible, absolutely despicable mindset that we have in our politics today of identity politics and this gender identification, which is absolute foolishness, ridiculous, is filled with subjectivity. Do you feel like you're a girl or a boy? It's like, hey, you're a boy. You're a boy, you know, biologically, you know, anatomically, this is defined by your biology. No, it isn't. It's how I feel and how I want to identify myself. Well, there is a very clear picture of the danger of living in such subjectivity. You have people lost, no definition, no plumb line, no objective truth, no reference to reality. We are living in la-la land as we define our own reality. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the believer has the great privilege of having fellowship with a living God who defines for us reality. And this is how we should live. And it is our joy to live like that.
Yeah. And we have this great, we've got the Bible. We've got God's source of objectivity before us. And yet, so often it is overlooked or not consulted. And yet God says, your answers are here. It's in my word.
Yes. Read the book of Proverbs. Read the book of Proverbs again and again and be submitted to God. It will benefit you. It totally contradicts the age we are living in, it totally contradicts, it challenges the subjective man. Read the book of Proverbs as a way of life. Be submitted to God. Fear God. Read the book of Proverbs. You will benefit from it. You'll greatly benefit by being submitted to God with the Spirit and words. That's what he said. How long do you, simple ones, love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. In other words, you're being foolish, you're loving your foolishness, and you're delighting in it, and you ridicule others, but be turn at my correction, and I will pour my Spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Mm-hmm. So objective truth will become part of your subjective self.
Wow. And that subjectivity, we actually was on display yesterday with the most recent Supreme Court nominee, when a question was posed to her during the...
What is a woman?
Yeah, what is a woman? Could not answer. Could not answer that question.
And these people are going to run our lives.
Yeah.
These are the people that are going to make decisions for us.
Well,
these are the people that are going to lead us. These are the people that are going to affect our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can see it.
You've got, President Putin is making his decisions and affecting the lives of many people. President Biden is making his decisions. And the Senate and the Congress and the Supreme Court, and these are the people that are going to decide for us how we're going to live our lives.
Yeah, we understand that there's a lot of education involved in interpreting the Constitution, but when you get a point-blank question quite as simple as that, and you know what's interesting, on the same day yesterday, we understand that the former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, passed away, but they were showing a little bit about her story and her background, and one statement, she came out and said it, she said, "I am a woman," and I thought, well, too bad that you couldn't have been at those hearings today, because you could have communicated that in a very objective way.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the third portion of our message today. And again, the message is entitled, Surrendering Your Emotions to God.
Why do you think Jesus, being a human being with free volition, even as he was God, was able to so gloriously function? Because he was subjectively totally one with his Father. That's why. He didn't live in the parasubrational or the conscious rational. You understand that? Now, I want you to see, when we ask God in this living relationship something, this call that came long distance said that God never speaks to them. Within 30 minutes, they told me they brought up some things that they'd been entertaining from Song of Solomon. And I jumped on that so quickly, I said, that's wonderful. When was the last time you asked God to impart something to you? They said, last night. But they said he didn't do it. I said, yes, he did. You're quoting it. I said, where did you think you got that information, Song of Solomon? The Holy Spirit quickened it so you could feast upon it. When we ask God, it's very interesting to wait upon God and to see his Holy Spirit speak to our human spirit and to hear freshly from the throne with a source outside of our ego and a source outside of the physical realm, a source that's in that river of God himself. And that's the joy in living. That's the beautiful principle of living. And you know when it says, great peace have they that love God's word, nothing shall offend them. I don't want you to think of that verse like you know it. That means that you are so subjectively filled with God himself, your source is in God for your happiness, that no one objectively could touch you ever as long as the filling continues to be there. That's what that means. Love his word means you've got the love and the word. That means the spirit and the life. Do you understand this? Now, communication. Love always communicates, and evil always stops it. Let me say that again. Love always communicates, and Satan's government of evil. Remember, we're not talking about personal sin, even though personal sin is a form of evil. We're talking about governmental evil, or Satan's kingdom among men. And when Satan's kingdom among men goes to work, it always separates the heart, divides the heart, and makes it malfunction in the institutions of God. And it makes people withdraw instead of draw near. It makes them sad instead of glad. It makes them critical instead of edifying. Because that's what the force of evil does, because it has its source in the nature of King Satan. Don't forget that. On the other hand, love always communicates. God communicated in dreams in the Old Testament. And God still uses dreams today. And one of the ways he uses dreams today, if a person, he doesn't use the dream to go against the word, it always corresponds with the principles of the word. But if a person is quietly resting, that's when you have your dreams, if God wants you to. Your ego is crucified. You're resting, you're not uptight, you're not tense. Then God, if he wants to, can speak in a dream simply to bless you. The dream will always be scriptural. But God can do it to bless you. He does and he has, and it's no sense in saying that since the full canon of scriptures were completed that dreams are over. They are not. And they may be false dreams, but God uses dreams. That's the way he communicates. The best way is the full canon of scriptures. The second way is the precious Holy Spirit with the word of life. The third way is through pastor teachers, through portions in the body of Jesus Christ. But he also communicates in many different ways. But love always communicates. And you know what happens? When we don't receive that love and when we're depending upon the objective and don't receive the subjective, you know what happens? We don't recognize the communication. We miss the communication. Now, that's kind of sad, but that's exactly what happens. We miss the communication of love. Now, here we have prayer. What is prayer? God communicating to his people that he wants to be communicated with. That's prayer. That's praise. That's worship. That's academic discipline and concentration and categorical doctrine, you see. Now, with prayer and supplication, when you start getting anxious, you see, you pray for yourself. Supplication. Many people have never thought of that. Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall establish your hearts through Jesus Christ. What's that? You're getting anxious, so what do? You enter into supplication for who? You. That's who you're praying for. Don't think it's wrong to spend a lot of time praying for yourself. It isn't. That's a misnomer in the Christian circles. They think it is. Supplication is when we pray for ourselves because of anxiety, a state of anxiety, a condition of distress, because we've been through a human conditioning process that's negative recently, and we need to rejoice and to pray for ourselves. Now, what does God promise? That he'll bring peace that's precious in our human spirit. Then he tells us how to keep it by thinking positive thoughts and to be content in that state.
Well, that's the final clip of today's Grace Hour message, friends. A message from Pastor Stevens entitled Surrendering Your Emotions to God. And what a great message. There's so much to discuss, talk about. We've opened the phone lines as well, so you can join us if you'd like to share your thoughts with us by phone. Pick up that phone and dial one of these numbers. Toll free in all of North America is 800-338-7060, and the local number in the greater Baltimore area, you can dial this local number, 410-483-3700. Those of you on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and these other platforms, you can send us a comment or a question that way. But if you are able to get to a phone, pick up that phone and join us live on this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Some good thoughts.
Yes.
Great message.
Behind it all, I think, is the understanding that we are to be healthy people. We are not to be sick. We are. I've got a cold actually right now, physically, but not to be deceived, misled, emotionally driven, making unwise decisions, alienated from my wife, my family, my work, hating my job, hating my boss. We're to be healthy people, and objective truth is the way to go. Yeah, great peace of they that love your word, nothing will offend them. They won't stumble because they walk in objective truth. Now, Pastor said also that there's something missing if I have objective truth, but it's not working in me subjectively. Like I'm not biting into it. I'm not partaking of it. That's not the point. I might have the right doctrine, but does the life of Christ really have a grip on me? You know, Paul said to Timothy, take hold of eternal life. Take hold of eternal life. What a good verse that is, to take hold of eternal life. The Ephesians 5 teaching, be filled with the Spirit. This Proverbs 1, turn you at my reproof. What I will do for you. The woman at the well, the Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and truth. The hour is coming and now is when he is seeking those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So I like it. He also said that love communicates. Objective truth communicates. It's imparted to us. Objective truth is reality. Why wouldn't God have us live in his reality? We are deceiving ourselves and fooling ourselves if our life is purely subjective. The way I want it, the way I define it, my world, my way, versus being submitted to objective truth.
And I love the outline he gave us. How can we experience that? Through the Holy Spirit's ministry, through a local assembly with a pastor teacher, and then through the body of Christ, the fellowship of other believers, and the wise counsel that you can receive from other believers as well. So there's so many opportunities for us to get that objective truth and to store it in our subjective capacity, because when that happens, well, now we're thinking objectively with God.
Yeah. At the Last Supper, one of my favorite events defined in the Gospels, particularly the Last Supper defined by John in his Gospel, you see Jesus telling them the bad news that he's going to leave, and they're very emotional. They're hurt. They don't want him to go. Where are you going to go? We'll go with you. And many strong feelings are expressed at the Last Supper. But, you know, Jesus could never leave a real lasting footprint on the earth unless these disciples were more than just themselves. There had to be God with them. And he counseled them saying that this will happen to you, that the Holy Spirit will come. And you will know me. I will be gone and you will not see me, but you will know me. And if, you know, the branch abides in the vine, it will bear fruit. You will ask and receive. Your joy will be full. I call you friends. I'm telling you what's really going to happen. And at Pentecost, that did happen. It's important for us as believers to realize that we are, as believers, part of something a lot bigger than ourselves. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the truth that we have has to penetrate into our spirit so we can say, great peace of they that love your word. Nothing will cause them to stumble. I mean, they would do really well. And you know, but let just to repeat the message, it is so possible that a Christian has nothing more than his emotional self as his orientation.
Mm. And I can recall having just that, nothing more than my emotional self. And we were on our way to a Bible study to hear Pastor Stevens in Framingham, Massachusetts, years ago. And after the meeting, I spoke to Pastor Bill Cannon. He wasn't a pastor at the time, but he was someone who was discipling me. I remember just kind of sitting up in the back seat and saying, "I got a question for you." And he said, "Go ahead." I said, "Do you always think about God?" And he said, "Yeah." And then I remember slouching back in the back seat and thinking, "I'm in big trouble." But it was a process. He said, "You will too. Maybe not now, yeah, but over the course of time." So for anyone that may be, controlled subjectively by their emotions, just keep drawing near to God. Mm. Just keep coming to the assembly. Just keep listening to the promises of God. Keep fellowshipping with godly people. It's going to make all the difference in their lives.
That's a good example. Let's say a troubled teenager, he he's emotional. He flies off the handle. He runs away. He quits the basketball team. He gets in a fight with a buddy. And then you just tell him about Christ, and he's like, "They're not going to work for me. I get in trouble a lot. I got strong feelings. I don't even know what's going on." But we have to say, no. This will be great for you. It's perfect. You just need to be still and know that He is God, and trust Him with all your heart, and He's going to lead you. He's going to help you.
Yeah, and sometimes that could be a real breakthrough moment and a turning point for a young person. So if you have that opportunity, take it, friends. Let's go to our caller, our friend up in Pennsylvania. Pastor Duke Horton is joining us with a comment about the objectivity of praise. Pastor Duke, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Schaller. This is Grace Hour Con. I love it. This is the continuation of Eurocon, and you guys are awesome. I had a comment speaking about objectivity, and I was just thinking about how, we've learned over the years, and you just mentioned it, Pastor Schaller, about God seeks those who worship Him in spirit and truth. And we've been taught, worship is thanking God for who He is, and praise is thanking Him for what He's done. And I was just thinking about how objective that, just as love is a decision, also praise and worship and giving of, that's also a decision that we make because of who He is and how He's revealed Himself to us. And many times I've talked to some people in the last few days, and they're struggling with just having joy and rest. And I said, just praise. Just begin when you're alone. Just thank God for what He's already done for you, and begin to worship Him for who He is. And you'll discover that God visits you in that moment. When you're in your room or you're alone, just like Psalm, I think it's 22:3 says, He inhabits the praises of Israel and His people. And all through the scriptures we see that, praise and worship, like 2 Chronicles 20, Pastor Love, you spoke of before Eurocon about the battle was won and the worshipers went out first and God set ambushes against the enemy. And it may not always happen that way, but I think the real thing is in our hearts, in our soul, that we just praise God by faith because of what He's done for us. He's saved us. He's washed us. He's promised us heaven. We're new creations, and we just worship Him because of what He's done and who He is. And God visits us, and all around us, there's all kinds of chaos in this world. But when we're enveloped just in the presence of God because we've made a decision that I'm going to praise him by faith, and then he just fills us with his objectivity, rushes in our minds and our thoughts, and he gives us peace, and we have faith rest, and we just, nothing has changed. You know, our sickness, our whatever's going on, it may not have changed, but inside, Pastor Shallow, you spoke about it so beautifully at Eurocon, inside we are filled with God's presence, and we're so free. So I just wanted to share that.
Good thoughts. Yeah, I mean, Pastor Duke, have you ever said, I don't feel like praising God, right? I mean, we hear that all the time. We can encourage people to praise God, but they don't. I wonder if Paul and Silas, when they were beaten and put in stocks in Acts chapter 16, I wonder if they felt like praising God at midnight. I don't think they felt like it, but they made a choice, an objective choice, to celebrate the fact that they were there because they were in the will of God. They were there because they had preached the gospel to those that needed to hear it, and they were there, and they thought, well, we're here, let's make a decision to worship God, to praise him, and then we know the results of their praise. All of those prison doors were opened. The Philippian jailer came to know Christ, and, well, the story goes on and on, but we can make that choice, can't we?
Absolutely, and it's one of our greatest weapons. I think many Christians haven't learned to utilize it as much as God would have them use it. And it's faith, right? Like, we believe, we have to believe that God, what he said about it when we praise and worship him, he says that there's supernatural things that happen. And then in time, like that earthquake came and the prison was open, like you said. And I think God loves it when he sees us just, you know, I'm going to praise you, right? Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't feel like it. I feel horrible. I'm going to praise you, God, despite how I feel. Amen?
Amen. Thanks, Pastor.
This is Psalm 22. He inhabits the praises of his people, right? Also, another point made in the message from Dr. Stevens was that love communicates, and Satan stops the communication. So, Pastor Love, did you hear that part?
Yes. Where, love always communicates, and the devil wants to stop that communication.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
He wants to divide hearts. He wants us to live in sadness. He wants to be critical of us. How easy that is, left to ourselves, we can stop communicating love. We can have divided hearts. We can be critical of other people. We can be judgmental. We can be sad and live in our subjective self. Do you know, Pastor Love, I know I've just, you know, sing. I do the morning devotional, and sometimes I sing a song. And I mean, it's really beyond me to sing, right? Probably for you too, right?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's beyond ourselves. But I have found when I do it, I'm spirit-filled. I mean, that's what Ephesians 5 says.
That's right. That's right.
Filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine. Well, what's the meaning of it? It's objective truth, the song, the words of the song, working subjectively into me in the Spirit, and I realize I am singing truthful words, you know, words from God, and he's a communicator, and he wants to communicate to me that he loves me and that we are his children and that we are worshiping him.
Amen.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it works. It really does.
Yeah, but if you stop singing, what happens?
You could become a victim of your subjective emotions.
There we go. There we go. The conclusion of the program. There it is.
Surrendering your emotions to God.
Victim of my own subjective self.
That's right.
Yeah.
Imagine where that will lead you. I think that's why we have, honestly, in our culture today, that's why we have so much mental illness, is because people have become victims of their subjective capacities.
Ooh, you got to write a book on that.
Oh, boy. Well,
no, that's amazing.
It is true, though.
We become victims of our subjective self.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's true. You think of all the billions and billions of dollars of medication that are poured out.
God doesn't love me. Mm. I am not saved.
Mm.
I lost my salvation.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough.
Oh.
I don't feel it. I don't experience it. I don't sense it. Yeah.
Yeah. You hear it, you hear it all the time.
So that's for everybody. But then wait a minute. Objective truth means for this verse, for God so loved the world. All right? So we take the verse, say it, for God so loved the world. Wait a minute. Does he love me? Yes. He loved me that he gave his only son. Did he give his son? Yes. He gave his son for who? For me, for the world. That whoever believes in him, is that me? Yes, that's me. Will not perish. I will not perish. I will not perish. But have everlasting life. I have everlasting life. I have everlasting life. It's that simple.
Yeah. Just hide all the objective truth in your heart and change your whole outlook on life.
Well, and you become the head and not the tail, an initiator, a minister of truth, a personal responder to God, a relationship with God that results in you being an able minister to the New Testament.
Amen.
Not from your subjective self, but from objective truth that works in you personally, in your heart and in your spirit.
And there'll be no fainting, no fainting.
Yeah.
No becoming weary, because we've been given this great ministry by God, and for which cause we do not faint. Well, again, the message title today, friends, was Surrender Your Emotions to God. We appreciate those of you that weighed in with your comments. A number of you have shared with us how much you're enjoying this new format as we play Pastor Stephen's messages, taking the breaks, and Evie says, exemplifying to all of us how to group meditate these super rich messages. We hope and we're glad that you're enjoying it and hope you will continue to do so. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour, and we will wrap up this week's broadcast on the subject of our emotions and how objective truth can determine how we live our lives before God, and we can surrender those emotions to Him. God bless you until tomorrow at the same time, friends.